Hello, everybody. I'm Kyle. Nice to meet you. I should apologize. I've been away quite a few Sundays this summer. Alex and I have had four weddings that we've been involved in through the summer, so from May till the next one coming up in 2 weekends from now. So because of that, I work retail, as most of you probably know. I've got to make up some time. And unfortunately, Sunday is the only day that I've been able to do that because I've been taking so many Saturdays off for weddings. So I apologize for my absence. It'll be happening a little bit more. But hopefully when September rolls around, everything will normalize a little bit. Seems I'm at the point where a lot of people that I know are getting married, which is great. I'm very thankful for that. But it can get a little bit overwhelming when you have so many weddings to go to and you're involved in every single one of them. Ross said something to me about preaching from Hesitations, and I assure you that I'm not preaching from that book tonight. Sorry, Ross. Maybe another night. No hesitations tonight. I do want to talk a little bit from the book of 1 Samuel. This summer, I've been at Hope Valley again on every Tuesday night. So this is the third year in a row that they've had me out there, which is great. I love it to be able to help out there in some capacity, because now that I'm working full-time and married and have a few more responsibilities than I once did, it's nice to still be able to be involved with the camp to some capacity. So right now, they have me out there every Tuesday night to do devotions with the staff there, which is great. I love it. It's a great way for me to kind of get to know the staff, help out a little bit at a place that I love, and also for me to do a little bit more studying of God's Word as I prepare for those messages. But we've been going through the life of David with the staff there, and I was thinking at the beginning of the summer what I would talk about, and through a little bit of searching, a little bit of praying, kind of flipping through and the Bible and seeing where God kind of directed me, I stumbled across this concept put together by another a pastor in the States. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, and it was just a phrase that I read, it was just a sermon he had preached, but it was titled "Becoming a Leader After God's Own Heart," and obviously that's a pretty good summary of what. Of what David was. I mean, he had a lot of struggles in his life. He went through a lot of, big events that we read a lot about, all through 1 and 2 Samuel. But it all comes down to that fact that he was that one person that was referred to after a man after God's own heart. And not that we want to follow a man, and not that we want to model our lives after David, but there's certainly a lot that we can learn from David and what God taught him through his life and through his different life circumstances. So I've been going through that and with them, and that kind of is what led me to share with you what I want to tonight. And that's talking about David and as he fled from Saul. When Saul was chasing him, and how he responded to that, and I just want you to ask yourself a question, or I guess reflect more than ask yourself a question, because I don't think there's any question about it that we've all faced a time in our lives where we've had somebody who was involved in our lives who just drained us emotionally, who stressed us emotionally, who just pushed us to our mental limits, and who just really made us just live in turmoil constantly, and I'm sure that if I've experienced it in my relatively short life on this earth, most other people like me and older than me would have experienced it as well. It's something that we can pretty well all relate to, somebody who's just out there to get us. And David was no stranger to that either. He had maybe a little bit more serious than some of us. I don't know. I hope none of you have had to run for your life from the prime minister or somebody like that. He was running from the king. So I'm just trying to relate it to Canada. We don't have a king, I guess. So that's kind of hard. But I think that we can all relate to this on some degree. Again, not necessarily to the same extent, but we understand the concept of what David was going through. And of course, leading up to this, I think we all are pretty familiar with the history. I'm not going to go through the whole history lesson with you. I love history. I could, but it would take a very long time to go through all of David's life and all of Saul's life and how the two eventually merged together. But, you know, we're familiar with the fact that, you know, Israel complained to God to have a king and they got Saul. Saul ended up being a somewhat of a rebellious chap and ended up disobeying God on numerous occasions, and God said to him that he would be replaced, that his blessing had been removed from Saul and had been appointed to David. And Saul, of course, did not take that very well. David had a few occasions where he was in Saul's presence, and Saul blatantly tried to kill him. The one verse that that comes out in my mind is when he's playing the harp for Saul, and Saul, as it says in Scripture, threw a spear at him so as to pin him to the wall. And I don't know if you can get any other meaning out of that than that Saul wanted to kill David. He was not a fan of the guy. But what really interests me about the story and what I really think we can learn from is how David handled all of that. And obviously, as any person would, David fled. He ran. He's like, I'm not staying around this guy. He's crazy. He wants to kill me. I've got to go for my own safety. I need to go. And so he ran. He ran, and you know, many events occurred in that process. You know, between his relationship with Jonathan, Saul's son, they were had a strong connection, and Jonathan ultimately helped David get out safely. And that's another story that we could look at. There's all kinds of history in this. Samuel is one of my favorite books because there's just so much history. There's so much we can learn from it. There's so much connection we can make from the Old Testament in this book into the New Testament to see what God has done and to see how we ought to live our lives. And David is a great example of that. So with that in mind, I want to tell you a story, and I'm just going to kind of leave you hanging with it because I want to get back to it at the end of this message. I mentioned that I'm a history fan. I came across this story years and years ago, and it's a story of a man named Henry Tandy, and he was a British soldier in World War I. I don't know if you're familiar with the name. Forgive me if you are. So basically, the story goes like this. This man is a soldier. He's fighting a battle in World War I. He comes across this German soldier in the battlefield. He has this man in his sights. He could gun him down in an instant, but the man was wounded. And this British soldier, he had a code of honor. He felt like he couldn't gun down a wounded man without a really good reason. So he put down his firearm, and the man gave him a nod in thanks and went and kind of scurried off to hide. Well, fast forward to the end of the war, as we're kind of leading up to the rise of the Nazi Empire, we get to a painting. Now, if you're familiar with Hitler, you know that he was a painter. He loved to paint. He failed at painting in terms of a career. You know, it might have changed history a lot if he got into painting and not war. but anyway, so Hitler liked to paint, and he had this one painting. And somebody was talking to him about this painting, and he asked, well, what's this painting about? And he says, well, this is about a man who, when I was fighting a war in the First World War, I was fighting a battle, he had me in his sights. I was wounded. He had me in his sights. He could have gunned me down, but he didn't. He spared my life. And we think of that and we're like, wow, that's a chilling, chilling story. One man could have ended so much pain, so much suffering that would ensue from World War II, from all the atrocities that Hitler would have committed. One man could have ended it all, but he didn't. And obviously that man didn't know what that guy was going to turn out to be, this crazy dictator of Germany, but He let him live in the end. And I just want to leave that with you for a moment, okay? I just want that to kind of sit in your head, sit in the back of your head. That's all I'm going to go with that for now, because I want to go back to David. Now, David, in our story tonight, we're going to go to, First Samuel 24. And I want to read the entire chapter with you, just for context. So we're back to David's kind of situation with Saul here. He's been running from Saul. He's been fighting battles. He's been doing his thing. But all this time, Saul has kind of been pursuing him, sometimes more intensely than others. But he's still ultimately, you know, hunting down David. He wants David gone. He wants him out of the picture. So verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 24 says, "After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself, but as it happened, David and his men were hiding further back in that very cave." Not a coincidence, if you ask me. "Now's your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with him as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. And after Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My lord the king!" And when Saul looked around, David bowed before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I am trying to harm you? This very day you see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I am not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. As that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds, so you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate, and he will rescue me from your power." When David had finished speaking, Saul called back, "Is that really you, my son David?" Then he began to cry, and he said to David, "You are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have showed me today. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Now swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants." So David promised this to Saul with an oath. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went back to their stronghold. It's a pretty incredible chapter, if you ask me. So much emotion in that. And I remember when I was saying at the beginning, you know, asking, you know, to us to reflect on some situation that has just, you know, really just drained us emotionally and taken so much out of us and just tried to attack us in that way. David obviously was going through that in a very real and a very tangible and dangerous way. Saul was chasing after him. Saul did not like that David had been chosen. He was jealous. I mean, largely it was jealousy that drove him to this point of chasing down David to kill him. And David has him in his clutches. He has him right there. And his men say, "David, this is your opportunity. This man's been chasing you. He wants you dead. Why don't you go end it right now? Just go and end it. He's right there. You can kill him. You can be done with this. No more running. No more hiding. You can assume your place as king. We'll fast forward the process. We'll just make it end now. No patience. No waiting. Just end it." So David cuts off that piece of his robe, and even at that, David feels guilty. And I wonder from us, you know, how many times have we had a situation where we've felt that, you know, in those situations where we are being tormented by somebody. Maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's somebody we don't even really know, and they're just out there to torment us, to just ruin our lives, or maybe it seems like that to us. And how often do we have that voice in our head saying, why don't you just act out against this? Just be angry and just lash out against this person and just end it. How often do we do that? Well, David, he went and he cut that piece off his robe, and even that simple act of cutting off a piece of his robe made him feel guilty about it instantly. He felt that because God had chosen this man to be king over Israel, how dare he step into God's territory and mess with this whole situation? And I wonder if we've ever felt guilty about when we have lashed out against somebody that maybe deserved it. Maybe they really did say something or do something to us that justified in our minds the anger that we had and the actions that we took. And I wonder if we ever felt any remorse for taking that action. I wonder if we've done things in our lives that we could have handled more like David handled it. Instead of lashing out, instead of just acting on the opportunity, not trusting God, not asking for God's direction, not respecting the layout that God has given us to live by as Christians, as followers of Him, but we just acted on our emotion, we acted on our rage, we acted on our hatred towards a person, and we just let it all out. And I mean, I'm not trying to deny that there is emotion in this. That's part of the biggest problem here, is that as people, we're emotional beings. God created us with emotions. He gave us the ability to feel emotions, to feel great emotions. Joy and pain and love and hate. And sometimes we let those emotions get the best of us, don't we? We're stuck in those situations where somebody is really treating us poorly, and we lash out against them. We act really aggressively towards them, and in a way that we really truly know is wrong, but we're just so caught up in the emotion. And I don't think David felt any different here. I mean, this is a man that has been chasing him, trying to kill him, trying to take his life. And here he has him in reach. And, you know, I'm sure David was skilled enough to take that man down. But he doesn't, despite the fact that he would have had all these emotions going through his mind. And why is that? Well, it's like he said, you know, how dare I lift a finger against God's anointed? And obviously, you know, when we face these situations, again, different situations, I think we all realize that, but it's the thought process that I want to focus in on. It's the application I want to focus in on, not the actual situation, because obviously we're not going to go through this exact situation. It's a much more complicated event than what we go through on a day-to-day basis, but the way it's handled is a great illustration for how we should handle those same kind of situations in our lives. When we have somebody who's coming after us, who just wants nothing more than to just ruin our day and to make us feel bad, or maybe they don't even intend to be, they're just that personality that just doesn't mesh well with us, are we going to lash out against them, or are we going to stop and think about it and commit it to God? And I'm sure that, again, it's a very difficult thing when we're actually in the situation, not trying to dismiss that fact, but it's a difficult thing to really come to terms with your emotion. But David, he does. He's faced with a decision. Do I act out, or do I trust God? And ultimately, I really feel that he did trust God. And this is one of the reasons I think he makes such a great example of one of these attributes that made him a leader after God's own heart, is because he stopped. He said, no, this is not God's plan. God has a plan in all of this. And it's interesting, because if you look at Saul's life, Saul, his whole life was spent acting against God's plan for things. He didn't want to follow God's way. He didn't want to trust God. He didn't want to wait for God's leading. He didn't want to wait for God's timing. He just acted, always acting, never thinking. It reminds me of a lot of Peter, actually, in the New Testament. Lots of action, not a whole lot of, maybe I shouldn't do this. There's a lot that we can learn from that. And David, I think he got that. I think he really grasped that concept that no, this is not God's plan. God has a plan and I will be king. I think he probably realized that at this point. That this is happening, but this is not the way it should happen. God is the judge. God is just. I am not just. I am not the judge of Saul. God is going to deal with Saul how God will deal with Saul, and I don't have to decide that. I don't have to act on that. So David chose to trust God's direction. He even said that in his conversation with Saul afterwards. He said, "May God choose between us who is right and who's in the wrong. May he deal with us accordingly." And of course he did. I mean, Saul met a very, very, very tragic end. If we're familiar with the story, it's a very, very sad story. I mean, there's so much to learn from Samuel, so much to absorb from it, but one of the other things that I can't help but feel when I read through Samuel is just how sad it is. That a man who could have been so great in terms of how he carried out God's will for the people of Israel, he threw it all away because he wanted to push his own plan. He didn't want to trust God. He didn't want to wait for God's leading. And when it came down to choices, he chose emotion. He didn't choose the way that God would have him to live. But David did just the opposite. When he was faced with that opportunity, he chose the way that would give the most glory to God, not to himself. So it's the response now. How do we take this and how do we apply it? Well, thinking back to our story about this man who could have killed Hitler, we think about that, and again, it's not a very deep story, really, when you think about it, but it's just something that I found kind of mixed well with this, and that's that this man, if you read a little bit more into this story, he's not such a compassionate hero. After all, I mean, you know, when interviewed after the beginning of World War II, he said, "Had I known that it was Hitler standing at the end of my barrel, I would have never hesitated to take the shot." And I mean, we could debate on the philosophical idea of whether that would have been the right call or not. But at the end of the day, he didn't know what was happening with this man. He didn't know that Hitler would end up being this terrible, terrible person who would ruin and murder many, many people. He didn't know that, but he chose to not act right away. He chose to wait, and not knowing the outcome, he chose to spare that man's life. And you know, it just happened to be that he spared a very dangerous man's life. But for David and Saul, it's a little bit different. David knew the outcome. David knew the implications of not acting. He knew that if he didn't end Saul's life there, there would be more chasing. There would be more pain. There would be more just probably sleepless nights. And I think we get that idea from David when we read the Psalms. So many of them are just David speaking about himself in turmoil. And among many other instances in his life, this is just one of them. But I'm sure David, he knew the implications of not ending Saul's life there, unlike this man who chose to spare Hitler's life. He didn't know what would happen, but he trusted God. He trusted that God's plan would be carried out if he just did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And would it have been right for him to take Saul's life at that time? I don't believe so. I really don't believe so. And I think he really realized that, and he really felt strongly about that, and that's why he didn't do it. He waited for God's plan to be carried out, and David ultimately became king over Israel, and he was a great king. And there's obviously many times that he would fall and fail in the future so greatly. I mean, it seems so crazy that this man who acted so right here could make decisions so wrong later on in the future and just really mess things up again and again. But at the end of the day, he made the right choice here. So I have to ask myself, and I would challenge all of us, the next time we're faced with a situation like this where somebody is just out there to get us, where we have a situation, maybe it's not a person, maybe it's just a situation that we're in is just beating us down, is just emotionally ruining us. It's just too much for us. Are we going to act out against God's plan? Are we going to just lash out in just raw emotion because we're angry, because we're upset? Are we going to just forget everything that we stand for as Christians and everything that God has given us to be gracious and to handle these situations? Are we just going to throw that all out the window and let that situation ruin us? Or are we going to handle it the right way? Are we going to come to God and are we going to pray about it? Are we going to come to Him and ask Him how we should respond? Are we going to take what we know from Scripture and apply it to that situation? Are we going to live the way that God wants us to live? I think there's application, and again, I've been focusing in on this and how it relates to leadership at camp, but I really feel like this applies to a broader aspect of our life than just when we're put into a position of leadership. And I think that every person who accepts Christ as their Savior will at some point in their life be put into a place of leadership to some degree. If it's not permanent, it's probably temporary. And there's all kinds of situations where we're put into where we're going to have to show some sort of leadership. But this goes beyond that. This is just how we live as Christians. How do we handle tough choices? How do we handle the stress? How do we handle those terrible situations that we're put into? Do we lash out against them or do we trust God? I really I do pray that we would just trust Him. That we would just let Him just help us. You know, He's given us so many resources, not the least of which the Word of God and prayer and our local assembly of believers. We have so many resources to help us deal with these tough situations. It's just up to us if we're going to do that. Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to live like He wants us to live? Or are we going to just live irrationally and just lash out against it as David could have easily done? But he didn't. And may we all be like that. May we all just take the time to step back and just trust God. Trust Him that His plan is going to be carried out. That His perfect will be realized in our lives and just cast all our cares on Him. Maybe that would just be this reality for every single one of us tonight and every day in the future. Let's pray. God, thank You for David, Lord. Thank You for this story that we have to learn from, to grow from. Lord, it's incredible that You've given us so many ways to really evaluate our lives, Father, evaluate our decisions against real world situations, Father, things that have happened, things that You have given us in Your Word to learn from. And I just pray that we would be wise, that we would listen to Your Word, Father, that we would trust Your Word, that we would just be people of Your Word, Lord. Father, may we be called people after Your own heart. Lord, may You just give us grace when we fail, give us peace. Father, give us strength to endure, and Lord, just help us to live godly lives as Your people. Thank You for this place, Lord. Thank You for everybody here. I just pray that You would bless this assembly, bless everybody here, Father, and help us to be a true witness for the gospel in this neighborhood. Help us to just live for You as a church, in Jesus' name.